you like to know what the future is going to be like? The answer is, it is possible, more than possible. You can know what the future is going to be like by simply analyzing current events, trends, technological developments, and by analyzing what has happened and is what is happening and what is going to happen in foreign nations. Now, America, as we've said a number of times, is in the greatest danger that it has ever been in. So one would think that anyone with a conscience that's still alive would speak out about it, would attempt to warn people so that you can do something in a law-abiding, peaceful manner. You can do something proactively to turn things around. Because even though we're in the very late stages of this game, it's not too late to turn things around if, and let me underline if many times, if certain conditions are met. If those conditions are not met, there will be no turning anything around. And then you can look at history, you can conduct an analysis, et cetera, et cetera. And I can give you a very succinct, but most likely highly, highly accurate projection of what's going to happen. So let me summarize it. You will live, your children will live, your grandchildren will live, should the Lord tarry, and that's the important disclaimer, should the Lord tarry, we will live in probably the most evil and horrific and nightmarish totalitarian state that is so far beyond what most people can conceptualize. And the reason most people can't conceptualize it is not because of their intelligence, etc. It's because the sheer horror of the nature of the totalitarian state that is rising aggressively all around us is literally overwhelming to the average human soul, the average person, the average psyche. None of us can psychologically absorb the impact of what a nightmare of this proportion will look like. Now, I didn't say that for sensationalistic purposes. I didn't say that to embellish things. I didn't say that to get attention. I said it for one reason and one reason only. And that is, I said it because it is true. Now, I don't know about you. I would say that probably most of the people who listen to the Paul McGuire Report all around the world, and that's why it's so essential, it's so mandatory that you spread the links of our programs to your friends far and wide, everywhere, because we tell the truth accurately, because we project what's going to come accurately, we are under constant attack from many quarters, attempted censorship, and that's just the beginning. You see, if you just placate your audience with like a phony and fake conservative Christian theater soap opera, you're left alone, because despite all the bravado, you aren't saying anything that is a threat. Truth is always a threat. So a gentleman that I know, John Whitehead, who founded the Rutherford Institute, and he's married to Nisha Whitehead, who's also one of the heads of the Rutherford Institute. They're two very astute lawyers, and I don't want to just parade out his biography, but you would know, every one of you would know the cases that he has won, because they are at such a, you can't go any higher in the level of a legal courtroom situation. He's gone to the very top, and he's gone to the very top many times. So when he says things, you take them seriously. So let's look at America. And why this concerns me, and it should concern everybody, it should concern everybody you know, why it concerns me is because in 1991, I wrote a book entitled Who Will Rule the Future? A Resistance to the New World Order, where I warned and predicted many of the things that are happening now. Now, here we are in 2022, or whenever you happen to be listening to this. And I would say that a percentage of people in the Christian culture, leaders, churches, ministries, etc., a significant percentage, a faithful percentage, took my warnings to heed. Now, I'm not the only one who's been making warnings. There have been a number of people making similar warnings, both in the secular community and the Christian community. But after making all these warnings, there has not been a significant enough response to the warnings that would cause what John Whitehead is warning about to be derailed, to stop it. So let's just look at some of the things that he talked about and I've talked about really in every book I've written. That's the purpose. That's the main purpose I write the books that I do. And every one of those books is a warning, a message. Not a message of fear, a message of hope. You know, books like A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and Volume 2. The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. The new book, which is coming out real soon, Power from On High. And so many other books. All of those books are blowing the trumpet of warning for people and for God's people, with the hope and with the prayers that a significant percentage will wake up and be proactive before it's too late. So John Whitehead and his wife, Neisha Whitehead, wrote an article on their website, Rutherford.org, and it's entitled, Everybody's Guilty. To the police state, we're all criminals until we prove otherwise. And right there, he was making a very strong comment. He said, in America, it used to be our entire system was built on the premise that you are innocent of any wrongdoing unless it is proven otherwise. In other words, you're innocent, you're not guilty unless it is proven otherwise. And that is totally unique in human history. It's totally unique among all the nations on the earth. But now, Whitehead warns, the burden of proof has been reversed, meaning that in the America you and I live in, you are now guilty until proven innocent. So we're no longer presumed to be innocent. As was the case when our founding fathers set up America. Now we're presumed guilty unless we can prove our innocence beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law. And he adds, if you can, by some remote chance, even get your case in a court of law, because the entire legal system is so jammed up, the likelihood of you actually being able to get justice in a courtroom is next to impossible. So the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and you have to understand that the American Constitution and the American Bill of Rights is completely unique and different than every other nation on planet Earth. There's no comparison. The European Union Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights are very tragically sad and deficient documents that give you little or no protection at all. But America's Constitution, while it still exists, and America's Bill of Rights does give you protection. So in our system, the Constitution requires the government to provide solid proof of criminal activity before it can punish citizens or deprive citizens of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But that's not what is happening in America anymore. Now, Whitehead challenges us, and I'm going to challenge you. He writes, consider all the ways in which we, the people, are now treated as criminals, found guilty, violating the police state's abundance of laws. And I think that's a fair assessment. We are, for the most part, perceived as criminals. And here's just a few examples. And by the way, every one of these examples is in a direct violation to the Bill of Rights and to the highest laws of the land. So I'm going to read you a bunch of freedoms that have been stolen from you. And the only reason they have been stolen from you is that nobody in government or the legal system or in law enforcement submitted to the absolute authority of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They just trampled upon it. So now we have red flag gun confiscation laws. So what this is gun control legislation, especially in the form of red flag gun laws, which allow the police to remove guns from people suspected of being threats. Now, if you're an idiot, and sadly to say, we have a large percentage of idiots in America and an exceptionally large percentage of idiots in the evangelical church, you may say that's very, very unkind. That's not Christian-like to say that. You're right. But my question to you is what I'm saying true or not? Because that is the higher degree of importance. Now, I'm not saying that all these people that I just said were idiots. I'm not saying they were born idiots. But through social engineering and going through our educational system, they have been dumbed down so they are no longer able to think on the level of intelligent, perceptive human being. They are restricted to thinking on the low level that some people would, in a derogatory manner, categorize as an idiot. Okay, so this red flag gun confiscation laws should not even be an issue. The proposals for the limitation and the taking away of guns, it should not even be an issue. Because it's illegal to enact any of those gun laws. That's illegal because we have the highest law of the land giving us absolute legal protection regarding guns. And we have in our Bill of Rights the right to own guns. And that's supposed to be absolutely respected by government, law enforcement, local and federal, and so on and so forth. It's, as I was reading an article by Newt Gingrich, and it was quite interesting. It was a very intellectual article, but he said something that was very profound. He said that our founding fathers knew that unless you had the right to own and possess guns, unless that right was protected and maintained, he said, then all of your other constitutional rights don't mean anything. They're worthless. Now, that's an abrupt statement, but what he was saying was true. What he was saying is it doesn't mean a hill of beans if you have the right to own or possess guns. It doesn't mean anything unless you have laws that are enforcing that right, and that you actually do have guns. Because what Gingrich pointed out was the fact that what our founding fathers were concerned about was the rise of some kind of totalitarian government, where soldiers break into your house or soldiers try to take over the nation. The only defense that the common man or woman has from totalitarian measures like that is guns. That's what stands between you and absolute tyranny. Now, if you're going to dance around that historical fact, and that's the problem, you see, we have so many people in America who are uneducated. Their critical thinking skills are diminished. They follow their feelings totally. And this is not like an anti-woman, anti-feminist statement, but it's an observation that I believe is true and defendable in a debate. A large percentage of the population that is the most adamant about taking away guns is the female demographic, especially mothers with children. So on one hand, you can understand why they feel the way they do, because every time you turn on the television, there's some nut, a student walking around with an assault rifle or whatever, you know, massacring his fellow students. So the housewives and the mothers in America are absolutely terrified. They're absolutely terrified. They should be absolutely terrified, because they're sending their kids into schools which are basically defenseless. And by the way, why are the schools basically defenseless against a psychopathic intruder who's attempting to gun down their children? Why are the schools defenseless? Because the laws that have been passed are irrational. They don't work. The laws that are passed prevent qualified, trained teachers, law enforcement officers, not just somebody off the street, somebody that has been totally vetted, somebody whose psychological profile is totally in order, and somebody who has been highly trained and has experience with guns. A school should have, depending upon the size of the school, every school in America should have such a person trained in guns and defense walking the hallways of those classrooms and walking around those schools. That would instantly reduce the percentage of these horrific massacres. It would cut it in half, and it would probably instantly cut it by 90%. Why? Because the student, the adult, the budding psychopath who has any fantasies of going into a school and shooting his fellow students is going to think twice about it, because he knows that it's not going to be easy. He's not just going to walk in there and kill people. He knows that he's going to encounter at least one, maybe two or three, highly trained individuals who are armed and trained, and will make sure that that murderous student is taken out of the picture immediately. And that may cost that maniac his life. So that's a deterrent that works. It's not a theoretical deterrent. It's a deterrent that works. And that would stop an enormous amount of the problem. Then, in the case where a psychopathic student actually gets into the school grounds or whatever with a gun, there could be all kinds, using cell phones and stuff. A teacher could press a button and literally within minutes, a highly trained, highly armed law enforcement or some other type of officer would be there, and they would take out the potentially murderous student. This is not a complicated thing to set up, but it's not being set up. Instead, a policy of insanity is being set up, a policy, a law which does 180 degrees the opposite of what is truly helpful and effective. Why do you think that is? I mean, that makes no sense at all. So those problems could be solved, and that means you allow qualified and trained people to have guns. That way, your students, I mean, your kids are not basically defenseless if a maniac comes into the classroom. That should never be that way. Okay, but the problem is that we have these over-emotional female, I'm not trying to be derogatory, but they're thinking based on emotions. And we have males who think based on emotions, who know nothing about guns, who don't understand how guns are a deterrent, et cetera, et cetera. And so the massacres keep going on because the end game here is there is a powerful elite that wants total gun control. And the reason they want total gun control is not to protect your children. It's to give them total power. And you have to remember that, and you have to understand history. If you're going to be totally ignorant of history, as most Americans are, as most Christians are, as most housewives and men are, if you're going to be totally ignorant of history, you are going to be a walking target for evil people that have guns. Okay, now, the other point is this really should be a non-issue if the Bill of Rights was being respected. So the Bill of Rights in Amendment 2 says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Let me read that to you. This is the ultimate law of the land. That means no politician, no judge, no law enforcement individual has the right to infringe or attempt to overturn the Bill of Rights when it comes to guns. And so let me read it to you again. The right of the people to keep and bear arms, guns, shall not be infringed, shall not be messed with, shall not be interfered with. It's supposed to be respected and honored because it's the highest law of the land. And it was put in there by our founding fathers not to protect people, for the most part, from burglars and stuff like that. It was put in there by our founding fathers to protect the average citizen in early America from an attempted takeover by the King of England, the British Army, and any kind of totalitarian state. And when you read history, the repetitive process which always happens is this is the way it always goes without exception. So don't make an imaginary dream plan based on your fantasy. The way it always plays out is there's a crisis that terrifies the people. It's a formula. What I'm explaining to you is a formula. So first there's a crisis or a series of crises that terrifies the people. The people, in response to the terror and the crisis, give up their guns. And then the next part of it, which is what they never tell you, is after the citizens in a nation have been disarmed, after they've given up their arms, the final phase of the operation is a totalitarian government rises up and totally enslaves the people by sending in armed troops, armed police, to invade the cities, the communities, and the towns. And the next thing you know, America or any other nation is under martial law or military law. Now, you've got to understand this. You can't, like, play games in your head. Martial law or military law is completely different than the laws of the land in the U.S. Martial law or military law is ruled by the military. There's no appeal process. There's no courts. There's no judges. It's you're being ruled by brute force and armies of men with high-powered guns. And you submit or you're shot to death. Got it? Chairman Mao, who was the head of the Communist Revolutionary Party that overturned the government of China through a violent and bloody revolution. One of his famous sayings is this, and listen carefully, especially those housewives who have a lack of connection to reality because they don't know history. Chairman Mao, the communist revolutionary leader, who ordered his soldiers to massacre, starve to death, shoot to death, and kill hundreds of millions of people in China who were innocent citizens. His famous statement is, "All power comes from the barrel of a gun. Brute force." Hitler believed the same thing. The communist revolutionaries in communist Russia believed the same thing. They believe you rule, you have a revolution through brute force. He or she who has the guns, it's not even a contest. The people who have the guns are the people who win. The people who don't have the guns are the people that are murdered, tortured, shot to death, raped, and thrown in prison camps, concentration camps, etc., etc. You can argue, you know, however you want to, but that's the way it always plays out. Okay, so we're going to come back in a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Be sure to spread our programs far and wide because there is, you know, this famous saying, and it's in the Bible, my people perish for lack of vision, but also my people perish for lack of knowledge. When you lack the knowledge of history, you perish. You're slaughtered by a tyrant, and you need to remember that. We'll be back in a moment. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Let me add something to what I just said, and that is, and this is a very dicey issue because it's so open to be abused. The reality is that in America and in nations across the world, because of the fragmentation of society, because of the disintegration of the family unit, and many other causative factors, we have large numbers of people that are severely psychologically disconnected from reality and have sociopathic and psychopathic tendencies, and they're willing to act out their psychopathic tendencies by killing people with guns. But you can't ignore that. But the way to solve that problem is a much more precise method of keeping guns out of the hands of people who are truly psychopaths. But here's the problem. You see, when you look at the history of gun control, in almost every dictatorship, what they would do as an excuse and a pretense to take away the guns from their citizens is they would have them go to the state-run psychiatrists or the state-run psychologists and have people who were totally sane. They were perfectly sane, rational. They weren't dangerous. They owned guns to protect themselves and their family. They'd never committed a crime of any kind. But they would be diagnosed by the state-controlled psychiatrists and psychologists, and then they would be declared sociopaths or psychopaths that were a danger to society based on their political viewpoints, not based on whether or not they were really sane or insane. So you see, the danger of gun control based on profiling people as mentally ill or whatever, the great danger is that the historical example reveals to us that this becomes an excuse for a dictatorship to take away the guns from all their opponents. So anybody that didn't vote for them, anybody that disagrees with their political policies, they are declared insane. And because they've been declared insane, they're not allowed to have guns, and then they're put into concentration camps, psychiatric hospitals, and prison camps. That is the historical precedent. That's why, you know, you need to have surgical precision when you're dealing with these things. You just can't have a knee-jerk reaction. So in Russia and in China and in many other nations, the way totalitarian governments and dictatorships run is that anybody who disagrees with the dictatorship or the dictator is diagnosed as a sociopath or a psychopath. They have their guns taken away, and then the dictatorship sends them to prison camps, massive psychiatric hospitals, where they're just drugged into a zombie state like a vegetable, and or they're forced to work in freezing cold Siberia, et cetera, et cetera. So what you do is you weaponize medicine, you weaponize psychology, and you weaponize psychiatry, and you use it as a stealth mechanism to destroy your enemies. That is a very real danger. Now, here is another danger that is accelerating every day. It's being accelerated by organizations like the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, the United Nations, and other World Health Organization, and other globalist institutions. And what the danger is that the government now presumes that people are guilty until proven innocent, which is the opposite of what the legal system used to operate on. So the government compiles watch lists. The FBI, CIA, NSA, law enforcement, and other things. They have massive computer files, artificial intelligence, and they electronically profile people. And they can do it very quickly because they're using the internet and powerful computers. And if the artificial intelligence in the computer, so instead of a human being making a judgment call, instead of a human being making a assessment, computer algorithms, artificial intelligence are making assessments. And first thing they do is they again, there's a violation of your Bill of Rights. So our Constitution gives us rights like freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. But if a computer or an AI-driven technology says you're a terrorist or something of that nature, then you lose your freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of the press. Now, you take social media like Facebook and others. I don't know how many millions of people these social media companies rip down off the internet unfairly. People's videos were ripped down, their photos were ripped down, articles were ripped down, you know, posters. If they expressed their political opinions, if they expressed their opinions on the vaccination, if they expressed their opinions on anything, and it wasn't the officially sanctioned and politically correct opinion, then they would be with no trial, no appeal process, they would be ripped off the internet overnight. And guess who one of the prime, if not probably the primary target of these trillion-dollar social media companies, their primary target, their primary enemy, was conservatives and Bible-believing Christians, whose websites, whose video sites, whose blog sites, et cetera, were ripped off and censored from the internet by millions and millions of people. So what this did is on election time, it helps to control the outcome of the election. It also functions as a social engineering device, and it functions as a mind control device. When you're constantly being bombarded by propaganda, social engineering, because that's all that's coming at you due to your social media, the reason it's happening like that is you're being censored and torn down off the internet. Your videos are being ripped down. The search engines put your stuff at the bottom of, you know, let's say there's 5,000 articles on a particular subject. Well, you'll be one from the very bottom if your message or belief is not politically correct. So that's censorship. And that violates your freedom of speech. It violates freedom of the press. It violates freedom of religion. You're not allowed to express your beliefs, your opinions, your ideas, your religion. And this is what a totalitarian society looks like and what a dictatorship looks like. And this is where America is going. Well, America is already here. Let's not kid ourselves. America is already here. So the only way to reverse that is that people in a law-abiding and peaceful manner need to stand up for their rights. They need to protest. They need to boycott. They need to speak up. And they need to be very aggressive about it. Now, I want to point something else out to you, which is another grave concern. We have now arrived in America that in the world that George Orwell warned us about in his novel 1984. It didn't all happen in 1984, but it was certainly well on its way in 1984. Now, today, we are living in George Orwell's world. We are also living in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. We are living in scientific dictatorship, and one of the hallmarks of a scientific dictatorship run by a technocratic elite is that it disguises itself. It masquerades as a democracy, as a free nation, where you have laws to protect you. But all that is a facade. That's just a charade. The reality is, when it comes to stuff that really matters and is really important, you have already lost your freedoms. Now, if you come around and tell me you haven't lost your freedoms, it's because you're delusional, uneducated, and lack perception. You have lost your freedoms. It's just that, you know, I talk to some Christians and I scratch my head and it's like, where is your mind? Where is your brain? I mean, where are you? Are you even real? The point here is that we live in a country that projects the illusion. It projects a virtual reality that this is a free country and that you have a viable Bill of Rights and Constitution, etc. But that's not the case. You say, what do you mean it's not the case? All you have to do is speak politically incorrect words and language or write an article that is not politically correct or whatever. All you have to do is stop speaking in the politically correct mind control language and see what happens. You will instantly be punished. It could be anything from being fired, losing your pension, not being hired, not being considered for a promotion, even though you're the most qualified person to be promoted. You're not promoted. You're not hired for the better positions when there's a job opening. There are all kinds of secretive, underhanded, stealth-like attacks that come upon the individual who is in an intelligent, sane manner, who is conducting themselves behaviorally in the highest sense of people skills, someone who's not coming off like a religious nut, and somebody who is the best in the department or the company they work at in their particular position. You're the best, most proficient person there is. So given all those things, why are you being overlooked for promotions, for raises, for the higher level jobs, et cetera, et cetera? You're overlooked because there's a secret, stealth, invisible network, and you know it's there. which will punish you, fire you, terminate you for not marching in lockstep to the politically correct dogma and all the other politically correct words and ideas and beliefs, etc. So the punishment is severe. Now think about this. We're talking about a world in which you may not be eligible for the better jobs, the better pay, the better positions, et cetera, because of your religious or political beliefs. Or the same thing may happen to your children or your grandchildren. And so what that looks like is that you're punished severely by not being hired for the better jobs at the better pay, not getting to be the head of a particular company or an organization, not on the basis of your proficiency, but on the basis of your not being politically correct or holding to certain political or religious views. So what the invisible social engineers, you know, people like Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, They're behind this, as many other groups are. What this means is that your children and grandchildren and yourself will be perpetually, listen to my words carefully, will be perpetually punished economically, promotions, and you and your children and grandchildren will be permanently relegated to like a subclass that's below a lower class. Because the only positions you will ultimately be hired for are what would be considered the subclass or the lowest of the lower class positions. And what that does is condemn you to a life of poverty, unemployment, not being able to utilize your talents and abilities, and a very hellish existence that has very real consequences in the real world. Now think about how this plays out. Because there's always multiple dimensions when you analyze any particular problem. It doesn't stop there. You're talking about a massive escalation of divorces because of this stress that comes upon families and marriages due to what I just said. You're talking about a substantial increase in alcoholism, drug addiction, crime, gang activity. All of these negative, dangerous social behaviors people start to engage in because they have no opportunities. They have no doors open for them to be promoted, to be hired, to make more money. Their spirits are shattered. This plays out. Make no mistake about it. This is what... You know, forget these phony baloney Christians who romanticize persecution. This is what persecution looks like. It's subtle, but it is highly punitive. And it is designed to break and crush people's spirits so that nobody will dare to speak up. Nobody will dare to depart from the politically correct mantra, et cetera, et cetera. This is real, and the fallout from it is extremely real. Now, let me just stop there. I think at this juncture, it's very important to communicate to you this biblical principle, which I do not see applied to the degree that it should be among evangelical Christians. The Bible tells us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So when we're in the working world, when we're in the career world, the job world, whether you're a corporate CEO, an accountant, whether you're a law enforcement officer, police officer, fireman, whether you're in politics, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a truck driver, whether you're an entrepreneur, you know, whatever you do for a living, you have to step up to the plate. And unless you want to perish and live a torturous life, you need to sharpen your skills of survival. You need to sharpen to razor sharp degree your people skills, your management skills,
You need to develop strategies on how to divert attention and hate towards you because you're a Christian. You need to know when you should say something, and then most of the time, you need to know when to say nothing. You need to develop an entirely new set of skills, which is essentially absent in the evangelical culture. Because if you do not develop these new set of skills, you will not survive, you will not thrive, you will not be promoted, you will not get the raises, you will not get the positions, and you're going to doom yourself to a hellish existence. Now, you got to remember, Satan is the temporary god of this world. You can't play the fool. You can't function as a dumbed-down evangelical Christian. You must be highly strategic in everything you say and do, including social interactions, etc., etc. If you, for example, go to work in a corporation and you decide to blab freely about your Christian beliefs or your Christian morality, you're going to offend people. And then you're going to get fired or demoted or whatever. It's not your job to be the moral policeman of the world. It's not your job to offend people. There's two kinds of persecution. There's persecution that comes against you that is unjust, that's punitive, and it's due to your commitment to Jesus Christ. That's one kind of persecution. The other kind of persecution is drawn to you primarily through your own stupidity and through your lack of high-level strategic skills, planning, social maneuvering, setting up decoys, and developing a new skill set of it's almost like social verbal karate. So you can work in the world but not be of the world. And it is possible in many cases to do that without compromising your faith in Jesus Christ. But you have to develop that. Now, this is a problem that I have, and I've had it for many years. I have seen numerous generations of evangelical and Bible-believing Christians. The parents grew up at a time where the political correctness and the Christian persecution was very minimal and in many cases didn't exist at all. Okay, so they have children and grandchildren, but in this time period, the culture changes. The culture becomes antagonistic towards biblical Christianity. The culture demands adherence to politically correct words and vocabulary. The parents, the Christian youth group at the church, the pastor, the youth pastors, the Bible studies at the overwhelming majority of Christian churches do little or nothing in terms of teaching young adults, teenagers, preteens, adults, the specific set of skills that are mandatory to survive and overcome in a hostile, politically correct environment where you could be fired, lose jobs, etc., etc. Because nobody taught you how to be a Christian in the real world, and all you've been taught is kind of a bookish academic Christianity. And nobody taught you how to connect the Bible to reality. You have set up your children and grandchildren and yourself. It's just as if somebody put a big bullseye on you and your kids and your grandkids' back when they go to work or they go to school or they go to their job. You're walking around with a big stinking bullseye, and everybody knows it but you. And that egregious vulnerability was embedded into you by a criminal lack of preparation, lack of biblical teaching, lack of biblical teaching on how to apply the truth to the real world. And so we have many generations of Christians who are getting fired, who can't get a decent job, who can't get into the schools they want, and all the other things. They are being persecuted, and they are losing money, they're losing their families, they're losing their children, and they're suffering from enormous psychological stress because the Christian church that they went to, or their parents went to, insisted upon teaching them an unreal, non-real form of Christianity that they don't know how to apply in the real world. They've been equipped to be a Christian in the world of Mary Poppins, but we don't live in the world of Mary Poppins. So if we say we love our children or anybody else, the first order of business would be to iron sharpens iron. Sharpen up your children. Prepare them. Rehearse scenarios with them. I used to do this. I used to do it on the radio also, because I would get calls all the time from people who were in tremendous trouble at their job. And I was polite and courteous on the air. But the reason they were about to get fired, the reason they weren't getting promoted, the reason they didn't get the raises and the higher positions was because they were stepping on every landmine there was at their job. Nobody taught them how to be savvy, how to have razor-sharp people skills and to maneuver in an environment that has now become hostile towards evangelical Christians. I'll give you an example. Some girl called me up on my other radio show years ago, and I've seen Christians do this a number of times. And she was all upset, and she called me live on the air to tell me she was in a quandary as to whether or not she was going to attend her boss's wedding. And I said, well, what's the quandary about? She said, well, my boss is gay, and I don't know whether or not I should attend his wedding because she said, I believe homosexuality is a sin. Okay, so on a very superficial level and in a very poorly thought out level, she is buying into a biblical worldview, which is completely incorrect. And she is creating a lifetime of problems for herself by not learning and not being taught what the Bible really says on how you're to handle yourself in these situations. So I asked her the question. I said, okay, your boss is gay. I said, wouldn't you think that in a company of your size that there has to be a certain and most probably a significant percentage of both men and women who are heterosexuals that you work around? That are actively involved in sexual affairs with somebody other than their wife or husband. In other words, they're committing adultery. And it could be the receptionist, it could be account executives or whatever. She just said, yes, there'd probably be quite a few. I said, so on what basis do you make the moral selection to in a sense, take it upon yourself to criticize and attack and insult your boss because he's gay and he's marrying someone of the same sex? Why are you getting into a confrontation with him and making a statement about him, and at the same time, you're apparently giving a free pass to all the heterosexuals who may potentially be involved in having affairs or committing adultery with members of the opposite sex and cheating on their husbands or wives? And what I was trying to do, and it worked, is bring her to the realization that she's being hypocritical in her standards. First of all, we no longer live in a Christian culture. It's over. Second of all, it is completely unreasonable for you to go to work expecting non-Christians or nominal Christians to adhere to the same moral standards that you do. It's completely unrealistic of you to expect your boss, who doesn't claim to be a Christian, why are you trying to hold him accountable regarding his choice to marry his boyfriend, and yet you're giving a completely free pass to all the heterosexuals who are involved in affairs or committing adultery on their husbands or wives? That's completely inconsistent and completely irrational. And your decision is completely arbitrary. It's not biblical. You see, Christians need to understand we are in a post-Christian culture. Our job is not to go to work and to be the moral policeman and then really mess things up by not even being consistent or fair in our criticism. Our job is to go to work and to perform and to be the best employee that we can possibly be, to exercise our people skills to the highest degree that we can, and to be as productive and proficient as we possibly can. That's what we should be doing. Not selectively and unfairly attacking some people and not attacking others. And you could develop a long list of moral inconsistencies which disagree with the Bible. But why are you choosing to disparage one group and you give the other group a free pass? You see, this is the real world. You know, there are people that are going to disagree with me, fine. Probably most of them have not worked in a secular job or whatever. Because for you to, first of all, you cannot demand and expect non-Christians to behave as Christians in terms of their moral values or their moral activities. You can't expect that. They're not Christians. They don't believe in Christ at that point. So these are the things that we have to deal with and maneuver with. And for a Christian culture, for biblical Christians, evangelical Christians, or however you want to define that group, to not train adults and young adults and teenagers, et cetera, to not really train them how to really operate and interact and deal with the nitty-gritty problems regarding their faith in an externally hostile world to Christianity is like sending a lamb to the slaughter. It is irresponsible. People have to be trained on how to behave, how to conduct themselves, what to say, what not to say, et cetera, et cetera. They need to be taught specific strategies on how to interact with people who are going to have, in today's time period, radically different beliefs and moral values than you have. And you can't be inconsistent, and you shouldn't be the moral policeman anyway, but you certainly can't be inconsistent and pick and choose who you're going to quote crusade against. Because, by the way, God did not call you to crusade against anybody. Just something to think about. So if we're going to impact the culture that we're in, we're going to have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We're going to have to be people of exceptional wisdom, exceptional strategy, cutting-edge strategy, being overly simplistic, and this is something that non-Christians go ballistic over, and I don't blame them. The self-righteousness and the venom and the hatred towards people who Christians perceive to be sinners is completely untenable. It's completely unacceptable in the eyes of God. We're in a post-Christian culture. I mean, get over it. The only way you can change the culture is through a long-term strategy in partner with Jesus Christ, in reliance with the Holy Spirit. And whatever strategy you choose, it has to be based on the agape love of Jesus Christ and not some pharisaical judgmentalism or legalism. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And I'll be back in just a moment. This is Paul McGuire. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We are moving with lightning speed into the future. At the present rate of acceleration and moving towards the predefined goal that people like the World Economic Forum have already defined, we're entering an age where through nanochip implants, wireless computer to brain, microchip implants, wireless implants that satellite to brain, the end of paper money, the end of cash, and cash will very soon be substituted for a DNA chip implant or a nanochip implant that's wireless, and it will be hooked up to a hive mind or a world brain that will keep an enormous library of all kinds of information about you. And you will be able to buy or sell, participate in the economic system, get health care, et cetera. Now, here's the clincher. To the degree that you absolutely adhere to and obey the endless new rules of this new world order or this global reset, because we're entering a time, I'm not entering, it's here already, through all kinds of technology that is operational, it is possible for people from an external location. That could be you live in LA, but somebody's monitoring you in Paris via satellite. And the technology already exists. I outline it in my new book, Power from On High. The technology already exists where they can read your mind visually, read your dreams, read your emotional state like depressed, anxious, angry. And not only can they read your mind, read your thoughts, they can control your mind, your thoughts, and they can control your physical behavior. In a sense, the real secret hidden agenda of the global reset is total control. And the first area of total control that they fully intend to dominate, and they're in the process of dominating it now, is they want to get rid of paper cash as fast as they can, because they can't control that, and move us in to an electronic currency in the form of some kind of chip implant or DNA implant. And let's take something like the vaccination. The vaccination has a number of properties in it, such as graphene oxide, which transforms the human body and brain into a transmitting device and a broadcasting device. That means wherever you go, you're like a walking GPS. You can be tracked by satellite or computer because your human body is generating its own totally unique and special code, just like your own totally unique and special thumbprint. Nobody else has the same thumbprint as you. Your body and brain emanates 24/7. It is broadcasting a specific electromagnetic frequency. Nobody else has that specific electromagnetic frequency like you do. Yours is totally unique and different. And with the graphene oxide and the embedded chip technology in you, you will be broadcasting endless information about yourself, your thoughts, your medical history, your moods, and on and on and on. You will be broadcasting that, and it will be readable via satellite or other nations. So you will be turned into a broadcasting technology. Your human body will become effectively a broadcasting technology. Now, the graphene oxide and other components that have been embedded into your body and brain also make you a receiver technology. So you can receive commands, inputs, mind control, hypnotic suggestions, data. You can receive all of that on a wireless basis from a satellite or a remote region in a desert somewhere. So we now have hundreds of millions of people on planet Earth who have been transformed without their full recognition of what happened. They have been transformed into a technological human being, transhumanism. And they are now both a broadcasting technology and a receiving technology. No, this isn't science fiction. This isn't a hallucination. This is now. It's real and it's operational.
So where this goes for the globalist elite and the global reset and their agenda, these are the people that control the world. And this technology, which I just talked about, is just another technology among many that gives them the absolute total power and dominion over the human race. And then the other step is to alter your unique and different DNA code and genetic code. Right now, most people are human. Your DNA and genetic code can be traced back through sexual reproduction of many generations of men and women, authentic human beings. And that goes all the way back to God, because mankind was made in the image of God, both male and female. Now, we have arrived at the point where we can now create artificial or synthetic DNA. So the new human being that will be created via transhumanism is a human being whose DNA, whose genetic code, is not 100% human. Thus, this artificial DNA, this imitation DNA, produces an imitation human being, an artificial human being. And an artificial human being is dead to God, because the Bible teaches that only those human beings that are 100% authentically human and whose DNA can be traced back from generation after generation of breeding between men and women and then going all the way back to God the Creator, is only those people that are 100% human being in their DNA and genetic code that can be saved by Jesus Christ and can enter the kingdom of heaven. So when you really get down to it, there's a very dark Luciferian ulterior motive to all of this. Ultimately, transhumanism is about a revolution against God and his system. Satan led a revolution against God with 1/3 of the fallen angels. And his goal is to lead a coup d'etat against God and overthrow God sitting on God's throne room. And Satan wants to be worshipped as God. All of this is part of transhumanism. In addition to that, Satan once again is offering men and women the opportunity to be like God, just like he made that offer to Adam and Eve. So we will have two kinds of human beings in the near future. 100% authentic human beings and human beings that are imitations or synthetic human beings, which cannot be saved. So in the meantime, there's one other massive reality that we're about ready to encounter, and that is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ to return to planet Earth at the second coming of Jesus Christ, where he will descend upon planet Earth with the armies of heaven, and he will descend upon the war of Armageddon being waged in the Valley of Megiddo. And there, Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven will defeat the demonic armies, the fallen angels, Satan, and all those people who have accepted the mark of the beast. And then Jesus Christ will be victorious in this battle for the souls of mankind. And he will sentence into the lake of fire for all eternity Satan, the fallen angels, all those with non-human DNA, all those that have sold their souls to the devil, and all those who have traded their souls for the mark of the beast. All of those Luciferian individuals will be sentenced into the lake of fire for all eternity. But you and I, we are going to be resurrected from the dead,
We will inherit brand new glorified bodies, and we will live in paradise forever with God in the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We need your help financially with your donations and contributions because we're in the fight of our lives. And the objective is to win, because if we don't win, we're going to be overwhelmed. And I mean that literally. We're going to be overwhelmed by the armies of darkness. So the choice is yours. We either band together, pray together, unify our resources and assets, and engage in law-abiding and peaceful, high-level, effective and strategic spiritual warfare. So help spread our message far and wide, and be sure to visit paulmcguire.us to look at all the different articles, radio programs, TV shows, and other resources we have for you.